For tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is tape one of two tapes of the Friday evening service of March the 26th, 1993. The spring family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jack Harris of Beckville, Texas is the speaker.
Let the
children, it is a time of gathering my flock unto me. It is a time that I might flutter over my flock. Yea, it is a time that I might feed my flock with a personal visitation, with the word of a direction, oh, with the word of setting free. Yea, I say it is a season in this time and generation that I do visit my flock with the mighty pouring out of my spirit. Yea, righteousness shall come forth. Yea, judgment shall come forth. I do require of thee a jealousy for me in this hour. Yea, my children, a time of judgment shall come forth upon this land. And yea, there shall be a crying out by many, and they shall say, oh, that we would have listened. But I say, my children, those of you that will come under my wings, know this, that I do flutter and cover thee. Yea, as I do flutter and hover over thee, I shall protect thee. Yea, 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 the purity of my nature shall protect thee. And yea, my children, the heat of the day and the cool of the night shall not come upon thee with destruction. But yea, thou shalt dwell in an evenness of understanding, in an evenness of my presence. And yea, the times of hills and valleys and mountains that seem insurmountable shall be as a thing of the past, for I do visit thee with this presence in this hour. Yea, my children, fear not for what goes on round about you. Yea, look not to the circumstances. Look not to the things in this world, not to the things in America, and say, woe is me. But yea, rejoice, for I am a God that doth rule and reign, and ye are my people.
Thank you, Lord.
We have a ministers' conference here. It's a place where they can come. A lot of ministries who come here have no understanding of deliverance. And they come because they want to find out. And some of them be amazed what happens to some of them. I can tell you some stories about some of them. They've got some unexpected things here. And it turned out for their good and for their congregation's good. Amen, amen. The Spirit of the Lord, you know, the ministries need deliverance is just as bad and sometimes worse than a congregation. And the Lord's no respecter of persons, and He cleans some of them up while they're here. Along with the rest of us. But we appreciate you coming. Thank you for having enough faith in us here that you come and join with us in praise and worship and receive that which you can that the Lord has for you and go back home and bring it to the sheep that the Lord has given you to shepherd. Amen, amen. It's just a joy and a privilege to be able to have all of you come and be with us. How many's never been here to camp meeting before? This is your first camp meeting. Look at that, Jack. Every time there's at least a third here. If we ever called a congregation, how do you say that? Convocation of all who have ever been here. We couldn't hold them on the back 40. Seriously. There are thousands and thousands of people who have been here in the last 20 years to the camp meetings that have taken place at this here at Lake Hamilton Bible Campground. What a privilege it's been to welcome you. And man can't do, but God can and does. Amen, amen, and amen. The joy of the Lord to have you and to come and to worship and praise with us. Amen. We'll get Brother Jack on here. Most of us here know Brother Jack Harris. Come on over here, General. We met him many years ago. Then he came by here to check us out, and he's been checking us out ever since. We appreciate it. We appreciate the Spirit of the Lord that flows through him and the anointing that rests in his ministry and the Word of the Lord and the revelation of the Lord, of the Word of the Lord that God has given to Jack Harris. And we count it a privilege and an honor for him to come and minister. And in case he won't tell you, I will tell you that we're honored to have America's most decorated man of World War II in our presence. And he could stand here all night and tell us about those things, but we're honored that God is using a man of the stature of Brother Jack Harris to bring the revelation of the Word of the Lord, of the kingdom of the living God, to us at this time. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Glenn.
My. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. It's a good day the Lord has made. Praise the Lord. We will rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dreamed. Then was our mouths filled with laughter and our tongues with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord's done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams of the south. He that soweth in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I like that passage that says, cast your bread upon the water, and after many days it will return. I always say it'll have some jelly on it when it comes back, huh? Praise the Lord. You can't outgive the Lord, can you? Hallelujah. He's great to be praised. Oh, thank the Lord forever. Thank the wonderful Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen and amen. Father, we count it a great privilege to be in the house of the Lord, to be with this great people that you bring us before tonight. And I pray, Lord, just now, Lord, that you will anoint the ears to hear and anoint our lips to give, vocals to give voice, O Lord. And may the will of the Lord be done.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The psalmist said, I had fainted unless I had believed see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
Yes.
All I could say to that, I would too. He was saying, when he looked around, if all he could hope for was what he seen, he'd just despair, wouldn't he? But he seen something that everybody else didn't see. We live in, I think, what Paul described as the perilous times. Certainly, these are perilous times in the whether it's a beginning or way into it, we don't know just how far. We could actually be into the beginning of the tribulation. There's no way that I know of that will distinctly mark the beginning of the tribulation. There is a way, however, that I am well aware of and know about that will mark the last half. I stand before you with a hope. And I don't mind telling you what it is. I hope to walk into life.
Yes.
When I seen all the hands go up of those hadn't been here before, I wanted in my heart to to, change my text and my thought and show you how to get out of here alive. Oh, Lord. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hello. Yes, amen.
The first year as I preached, I just, about the first 10 years that I preached, I had a hope, and I hoped I'd die and go to heaven. Well, that's not a bad hope, but I found a better one.
Yes.
Now I don't hope I'll die and go to heaven. I hope I'll live and reign with Him.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And I have the prospect of doing that. And you do too. Who all is a candidate? Everybody that's spirit-filled.
Yes.
Now, if you are a candidate by being spirit-filled, now all you have to do is make your call in an election. Sure. Well, I have made my candidacy known all over the world. Everywhere I go, they know that I'm hoping to walk into life. And if I don't walk into life, I'm hoping for the best alternative to that. I don't want to confuse you. I want to enlighten you. So I'm going to get right into a message here. I titled this message, Forming His Kingdom. Forming His Kingdom. And I'll be preaching here from. I'm going to start in Revelation chapter 17. Hey, I was wanting to get this this message on tape. Not that I think it's one of the best ones that I put on tape, but I want to get it on tape from Brother Glenn's library. Or he sends tapes everywhere, you know, and we're preaching all over the world from right here. From right here, I just preached everywhere. Yeah, get phone calls from. They don't know how they'll get my number, and they'll call me, you know, and I got a tape, and so I usually ask them where they got the tapes, because I had tapes in several Linden libraries and so forth, and a lot of them comes from Lake Hamilton, and they're requesting some more tapes, and I tell them that Lake Hamilton got almost a full library and of tapes. That, you know, get in touch with them. I wanted to get this on tape to say here, and I was just in the convention, was it last week or week before last? It was in Fort Worth, yeah. Yeah, and I preached along this same line one night. I think it was first night. Was first night? I think this lady possibly was there. Was you there the night, first night? First night, yeah. Well, I preached again on, I think it was Wednesday night, so I didn't remember which one I did this on. But honestly, I know Glenn knows better, but, and I think you've heard me preach several times too. This is not the only message I have. As a matter of fact, I preached this one. This is only the second time I tried to work this. And the reason that I did it was that the Lord just quickened some things to me that I never had seen before. And simple, but good.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And some other time I'll tell you how to get out alive. Praise the Lord. You know, there's an old hillbilly western, country western they call them now, but we called them hillbilly back in my heyday, and it says you can't get out of this world alive. and I found a way to get out of here, to get out of the circumstances of this world. When the Bible speaks of the world, he uses a word that doesn't mean the same thing we'd mean if we say world. He uses a word that means, he uses the word cosmos, which means the way of things, the order of things. When he said the old world perished in the days of the flood, the old world perished, the cosmos perished. the order of things perished. And then when the floods receded, there was a new order. And most all the places that the word world appears in the New Testament, it comes from that word, and it does not mean. When you speak of the end of the world, see, to us, I used to try to imagine how that was. When I was a kid, I used to try to imagine it, and I was afraid of it. You just came to the end of the world, and beyond that was oblivion. But when he speaks of the end of the world, he's speaking of the end of things as they are now. And I think that we're close to that. We have, there's so many things happening all over the world. Yes. All over the world. Let me read a text here and you'll say I didn't preach. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, I'm going to start with the 14th verse is one I want in the 17th chapter of Revelation. And who was it in Revelation? Brother? Yeah, Brother Tommy. And I don't know, he might have read this very same passage. He was mighty close in here anyhow. All right, I'm going to read from the 12th verse, right? But I primarily want the 14th verse, but just so it'll make sound reasoning, let me see here. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as king 1 hour with the beast. Now, I was saying, if when I read my text, don't, you probably heard me, I approach this text from many different directions. I never can preach the same message very much alike. It might help enough that you kind of recognize a few things. But I tell you, in my days gone by, I used to preach at a lot of seminars and conventions, and I'd preach one time, and the next week, any of them young preachers there could preach it more verbatim than I could. they gave the powers 1 hour with the beast. I'm going to comment on this just briefly, just to kind of give us a setting here. All right, the 10 horns and the 10 kings, I don't know an awful lot about this, but they have received no kingdom as yet at this time, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. Now, just let me say that I believe that this has to do with all the world confusion that there is and the power struggle that is going on all over the world. In Russia and all over Europe and all over the world, in the United States too, there is a power struggle in motion. People are striving to for power. They want authority. They want to rule. And this 1 hour is a prophetic hour. And a prophetic hour is 15 years long. It is not 1 hour of 60 minutes, but it is a prophetic hour, and a prophetic hour, we said, is 15 years. See, and you need to remember this, because as you read the Bible, you come to places where it says, and all of these things happen in 1 hour. Well, there's so many things there that couldn't possibly happen in an hour, in 60 minutes. But when you extend that hour to 15 years, then you get it in the realm of possibilities. As a matter of fact, you get it in the realm of surety, because the Lord speaks it. And the Lord said, that's what's going to happen here. In 1 hour, there's going to be 10 horns. That's 10 powers. They're 10 kings. Or they might not be called kings, but they'll be the equivalent of a king. We have a president, and there's not many actual kings by title anymore. Not near so many as there was when this was written. But which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. That could very easily happen in Russia. I mean, it's split up in about 11 sections, and there's a power struggle for every section. I mean, this can happen. I was decorated by the Russian government in World War II, and they
It wasn't a big deal, but I didn't really do a great deal for them. I did, though, however, made contact with them for an American, for Patton's tank company or tank division, whatever. And all I did was they flew me over in an airplane and kicked me out. And I made contact with the Russians and came back with them to the Elbe River. They were pretty close to the Elbe River then. And so they decorated me with one of their, I don't think it was their highest medal, but perhaps the next to the highest medal. And which I was very proud of it, you know. It was it's another ribbon and a medallion, Doc. And but I think it was during the Bay of the Pigs. At the Bay of the Pigs, I just bundled that up and sent it back to them, and told them that I could no longer display this with my other trophies with pride, seeing that they were so hostile to the country that I loved so much and had given so much blood for, and had, in most people's opinion, been very loyal to, that I just didn't feel like I needed this, have it anymore. Well, they wrote me back. I thought they'd be insulted, but they wrote me back a letter like they was kind of glad to get it. Said, well, that's... glad to get the opportunity to change your mind. Now, what they really said was that they regretted that I felt so strongly about the things that were conspiring in the nations and that we were still friends as far as they were concerned. And if the day ever come that I wanted to reconsider, they would keep this in safe keeping, ready to return it to me immediately. Hallelujah. I don't feel strong about it now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, so these kings, once they come into this power, you talk about a power shifting, there will be. We're not out of danger as far as civilization's danger is concerned. As a matter of fact, we're in more danger. It's in more danger than it's ever been in. At least while we had some order over there in the government, somebody had control and we knew who it was. In other words, if somebody sends a nuclear weapon to us, we'll take out his bedroom tomorrow night. But now, if they do it, we don't know whose bedroom to take out. And so he can do it without feeling that he'd be severely threatened or above other people threatened. And believe me, like Gaddafi, Arafat, Castro, that's just naming a few. If either one of them gentlemen, if I may be so loose as to use that term toward them, if either one of them had it, they'd send it tonight. All right. So, all right, these have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. And these shall make war with the Lamb. Why is everybody mad at the Lord? Every time a great power arises, it turns against the Lord, doesn't it? Against the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. That's good news, isn't it? Hallelujah. For he is Lord of lords.
Yes, hallelujah.
And he is King of kings, and they that are with him, there's somebody with him here. Hallelujah. They are called, chosen, and faithful. Hallelujah. Oh, well, this is, like I say, I approach this for a text. I approach it from many different directions. But I must say this about it, then I'm going to move past this. If you mark in your Bibles, just put for called, just write out there of God, underline called, and put of God. And then when you get that done, move to chosen, underline it, and put and write in Christ. Then when you do that, underline faithful and write in the kingdom. And then you have it. called of God, chosen in Christ, and faithful in the kingdom. These are they that are with him in the final crisis. This is the great hour. The great crisis has come. And he has somebody with him, and they are of the call, chosen, and faithful. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. May I suggest to you, before I move past here, that it is in this order, too. Called. Brother, I believe, read last night or sometime, many are called, few are chosen. Let me say that I believe that the choosing comes after the calling, and between the calling and choosing, there has been a testing. The choosing comes after a testing. After much observation, after much testing. During the war, when we got ready for the war, I volunteered, but I had the opportunity to volunteer for an elite outfit trained for elite missions. Elite means more likely to get killed. And they chose 1,200 of us. They called 1,200 of us volunteers. There were some restrictions. You had to be like 6 foot, at least 6 foot. Had to weigh at least 12, 15 pounds. You couldn't weigh over 250 and couldn't be over 6'4". And it was that thing like that. And then they tested you for IQ and a lot of things. It was a real restricting thing. They chose 1,200. They only wanted about 440. And they didn't choose too many either, because when they got through from the 1,200 they had called, when they made their choosing, they just chose 430. But the choosing came after much testing, much examination, and many things happened to us. Oh, and any time in this 1,200, any time during the time that we trained there till they selected the ones who wanted, and then comes the rough part. Any time until then, you could quit. Well, that is, you couldn't get out of the Army, but you could go to the kitchen or somewhere, you know. And so I was one of the ones that was chosen to make up this outfit. And we did several missions during the war, and we did a lot of things. Was also decorated. I don't know if this sounds like boasting. I don't mean it to be boasting, but since it comes, I was also decorated by France, their highest medal, and by Belgium, and England, and Holland, and the United States. Many times by the United States. But yeah, it was, no, you know, I was just there. Somebody said, well, what did you do? I don't know. I never pushed for nothing. In the ministry, I never pushed. I've never asked anybody to let me preach in my life. Not a time, never. And if I never preached, I don't think I ever would ask anybody to let me preach if I never preached another one. But I haven't had to. I've had, you know, it's been plenty to go with. And I never pushed in there. I said, all I ever done, if anything sat down in my lap that was undesirable, I got it out of there. You know, it's... In other words, I just did what fell in my lap. And in the ministry, I've just done what come to me. I mean, that's all. That's all I've done. I've just done what come to me. And the Lord placed me in the right place at the right time, and I had to do something. So I just did, you know, just did. Well, all right. Called, chosen. I want to stress that the choosing comes after observation. God said to Abraham, and Abraham was 99 years old, and he said to him, now you get down there and walk before me, and walk in holiness before me. It seems to me like that God was saying, hey, you get down there and make correct steps, and I'm going to be watching you all every step. They're watching you. I'm glad that God watches us. That's what he does. He watches over us. He has a watchful eye on us. I'm glad that he doesn't keep his thumb on us, but he keeps his eye on us.
See, he gives us a mission, and then he backs off and lets us do it. If we make a few mistakes, he just watches us wiggle out of them. Yeah. We think that he ought to come immediately and just, you know, but he doesn't do it that way. He's already told us what to do, and pretty soon we'll see that we ain't headed in the right direction to do what he told us to. At that point, we're supposed to correct. And when you correct, don't overcorrect. If you ever about hit somebody and you had to make an immediate correction and you overcorrect, and you wind up over there on the other side in trouble. But that's the way God does us. In all the parables where he gave gifts and put people in charge, he went away. And he didn't keep his hand over them. He waited until the season and then he sent to see what they'd been doing. Of course, like I say, he keeps his watchful eye on you, can be sure of that. But he doesn't just keep his thumb on you. He don't want us to be robots. He wants us to be overcomers. And you can't be an overcomer unless you're a decision maker. Yeah. Oh, well, praise the Lord. Well, Adam just had one obstacle. He never had to make but one decision. And he made the wrong one. Well, as it turned out, it's all right. But it sure seemed like the wrong one, didn't it? It was the wrong one for him anyhow. Well, anyway, praise the Lord. Let's go on past this. So we're called, chosen, called of God, chosen in Christ, and we're faithful in the kingdom. Now, but what I'm most interested in is those that are with him. Now, I was reading this, and this is what inspired this message, is I was reading here in St. Mark, chapter 3, and I have read this, oh, to say 1,000 times would be conservative, I know. I have any idea how many times, but I think that would be a conservative number. Say I was in the hospital for 13 months, right at the end of the war. I got wounded third time, along pretty close to the end of the war, and it took me 13 months to recover. And as I lay in the hospital back in England, I was something to read, and there wasn't nothing to read but a Bible in that whole deal. That's the only thing I could get anybody to bring me, was the Bible. And so I read the Bible through, several times. But, I wasn't reading it because I was religious or reading it just so I wouldn't forget how to read. But the Lord used it, and it was... in the test that they gave me, they concluded that I had a 75% recovery of anything I seen, read, or heard. It ranged right in that direction. I had a 75% recovery for a space of, say, 6 months. But the Lord gave me the Bible in my spirit. And I would stand and, you know, and just quote scriptures. Well, I was anointed. I was ordained. When I was ordained, an apostle laid hands on me. And the apostles, prophets, and pastors, they laid hands on me. And an apostle prophesied to me to go up and down the land, crisscross the country, cross the seas, and carry this gospel. And so everywhere you go, you quote the scriptures by the chapters. And it'll break the fetters, and it'll destroy the yokes and the fetters, and it'll bring liberty and freedom to the people. And so I quoted the scriptures, but people would think, well, you know, he sees something, he never forgets it, but I do. Anyhow, if I ever had pride in that, well, it's gone now, because I don't remember, I don't imagine I have more than a 40-50% recovery now for a week, but I don't know, but I know it's not nearly like it was. But anyhow, I didn't do it by memory. I did it by anointing and by the Lord. And anybody that sat in my services and heard me do it knew that they had to know that I was doing it by the anointing. I do it through the spirit of prophecy. And if you're a prophet, when I quote the scriptures, you will feel like prophesying. You just sometimes they just won't admit a credit so they could prophesy. It's a spirit of prophecy, but it's strong, strong. Say, I don't know why I'm telling you these things, but I quoted the scriptures for 3 hours, two 90-minute tapes. And I just kindly went into, I don't know, I just lost myself in the spirit, and I began to quote passages, and after I'd quoted for a while, somebody said, we ought to tape this. And so they brought in a tape and taped me an hour and a half and changed into another tape, taped me another hour and a half. And I quoted verbatim. The beauty thing is, and this is the point I'm making, that when I quoted the scriptures, I quoted them by the King James Version. Ask me what version I'm I'm partial to. Did. And I didn't know them. I know I didn't know those, you know, but I quoted it verbatim by the King James Version. Now, if you ask me, well, you don't like the old, oh, yeah, I love them. But I like this one better. I love them. I love this one the best. The most. I do. And, I've got all of them in my office, or I wouldn't say maybe I hadn't got all of them, but I've got a good number of them in here, and I look at them all along. I like to see what another, you know, what somebody else said about this, if there's, you know, and I do. But this is the one that I quoted, and that kind of made me think that, hey, this one must be the one, well, somebody says, because you read it through so many times. I know. Praise the Lord. All right, here, let me give you what the Lord showed me here, and I'm going to move through this. All right, in the 13th verse. Now, he has just been healing, man, all the healing deliverance ministry that he's been involved in here. And then in the 13th verse, he goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would. And they came unto him. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, that he might send them forth to preach. Now, this is what... When I had read this before always, my mind focused too quickly on sending them forth to preach. My mind would focus so quick on him sending them to preach that I didn't get the middle statement. And what the Spirit quickened to me was that he called them that they should be with him. Hallelujah. And that's what inspired me. He called them that they should be with him. If you're marking in your Bible, underline with him. Hallelujah. Amen. And, so he called them that they should be with him. And, of course, he sends them forth to preach and to help power to heal sickness, cast out devils. That's, you know, goodness. And Simon, he surnamed Peter. All right. Then he names the 12 apostles here. And I'm not going through this list right now, but he names them here, and we'll have to remember that because I'll be back here. And in St. Luke chapter 6, let's turn over here and read. In St. Luke chapter 6, telling about this incident in the Lord's life, it said in the 12th verse, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. And here again he names them. The point that I am making here is that Luke says he chose 12. But he chose the 12 out of many. When he called here, I don't know how many he called. But you know, sometimes he'd have congregations of big as 5,000. And I don't know if he had that many following him at this time, but maybe he had 100, or maybe he had 500. Or just use any number that seems fitting to you that he had called. And he went up into the mountain, and when he got up into the mountain, he chose out of that 100 or that 500, whatever it was, he chose out 12 men. That is, he handpicked them. Hallelujah. He handpicked 12 men. Now, I am persuaded that the Lord did this after much observation. Let me say that this doesn't take away from the dramatic calling of James and John by the fish nets. That was the calling, and it was dramatic. But unless they get something further, they'll get lost in the multitudes. But being called, he observed them, and then he chose them. But what's he choosing them for? All right, I'm going to tell you what he's choosing them for. He is building a kingdom. And I haven't told you the reason. I'm telling you what he chose them for, the reason he chose them, but I'm not telling you all the reason that he wanted them with him yet. This was what fascinated me. He wanted that they should be with him. And that's what I wondered. Lord, why did you want them to be with you? That seems so personal, so very affectionate and very near and dear. He wanted them to be with him. Perhaps he wanted human understanding. Perhaps he wanted some sympathy. Hallelujah. Well, I mean, you know, being he had taken on the form of a man, had become one of us. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, brethren. Though he were rich, yet he became poor. For our sake he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. Hallelujah. He wanted them to be with him, but he wanted more than that. I know that he wanted the comfort, the companionship. And he chose men that could be with him. He's got to mold these into a kingdom. He's going to choose some more. He knows already that he's going to choose 12. And he's choosing them very carefully. Believe me, he's choosing them very carefully. And because these will be the first that he has chose to be with him, recorded. And I just read you over there after you lapsed through all of this and 2,000 years expires. I show you that he still has another, he has a group with him. Not the same as this, of course, but they have, he wanted this one to project him, to project his kingdom. I said that he wanted human understanding. He wanted some sympathy. It wouldn't be unthinkable, would it? And another thing, he needed help in the ministry. I mean, the multitudes were growing, and his ministry was increasing, and more people wanted to see him, so he needed some help in the ministry. And those that would help him would have to be trained by him. Who has believed our report? Isaiah. Who has believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Who's seen the arm of the Lord? Isaiah said, hey, I prophesied about a virgin conceiving, bringing forth a child. Prophesied his name should be called Emmanuel. And out of all of this, who's seen the arm of the Lord? To whom was the arm of the Lord revealed? Who's seen all the projections about him? Who's seen the extension of his ministry? His arm that would go forth. That's us. Hallelujah. 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 We all like sheep have gone astray, turned every one to his own way. Hallelujah. The accuser of our soul seen all of us like sheep going astray. Everyone turning to his own way. The accuser of the brethren speaks to God and says, hey, God, look at them. They're all going astray like a bunch of sheep. Yeah. And look at them. They all quit your ways and turn their own ways. What you going to do about it? And the answer rang back, lay upon him the iniquity of them all. Hallelujah. He was cut off out of the land of the living. And who shall declare his generation? Oh, blessed be the Lord. Who shall declare his generation? Peter, James, and John, and Glenn Miller, Brother Cossey, Bale, myself, we'll declare this generation. Well, along with many others, you understand. But we're still an extension of his arm. He chose men that he wanted to be with him. Hallelujah. They had many wonderful visits during those 3.5 years that they walked together and walked. Oh, there was a lot of division among them. But I'm going to get to that. Hallelujah. Amen. In Luke chapter 22, let's turn over here and read this one. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 28. Now, here he says, ye are they. He speaks to those that he has chosen, the 12. And they're somewhere along in the ministry now. And he speaks to them. Well, evidently this speech come at the end of his ministry, close to the end of his ministry. And he said, you are they which have continued with me in my temptations. His temptation, speaking of the trials of life, the things that tried him and tried to withstand him as he came through, building his kingdom. He knew what he was going to do. He was going to build an everlasting kingdom. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. He was that rock, that stone that was hewn out of the mountain. And the first moss that it gathered was Peter, James, John, and so on. Yes. But it kept on gathering until it filled a whole, it filled everything. And it rolled out and destroyed all nations. I tell you now, that the kingdoms of this world will succumb to the kingdom of God. Yea, before the end comes, before the end of the age, the cosmos, before the entire change of world situations, yea, it shall happen, saith the Lord. For the Lord knoweth them that are his. Yeah, and the Lord chooses very carefully. And you can be those that are with me in this final conflict, saith the Lord. Yea, it'll take a chosen group. Yea, those that have committed themselves to me. He wanted a men that would be committed. Now, all he wants is total commitment. That's all. Total commitment. And isn't it strange that so few are willing to give him total commitment? Maybe I don't know a man in the earth, or a woman either, that has given him total commitment. But I don't mind telling you without fear of having to be corrected that before that great and notable day comes, there will be a company in the earth that is totally committed to him. Praise the Lord. And it could be us. And if it's going, we need to start now, don't we? You heard about the pig and the chicken walking down the road and seen a sign way down there said, how many eggs? Breakfast. Chicken said, let's stop. And the pig said, yeah, for you it's just token commitment, but for me it's total commitment. Yeah. That's total commitment. Hallelujah. He wants total commitment, and all we're willing to give is token commitment. Shame on us. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, we're all one probably as guilty as the next, but we just want to give a token commitment. We can't be totally honest with the Lord in almost nothing, in every avenue. We've learned to not just be completely honest with him on many things, perhaps all of them, but he's looking for people that are committed. He said, you are they that was with me in my temptation, and what am I going to do about it? I'm going to appoint you a kingdom as my Father hath appointed unto me, and you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, this, of course, is a direct promise to the 12. I have to enlarge on this just a little bit. He makes this commitment to the 12. I'm going, you have been with me through the temptations. And, of course, he was stretching it on out because he hadn't yet been
crucified, but he will, and they'll be with him to that dreaded day for them. But he says to them that I'm going to appoint unto you a kingdom, and you can eat in my kingdom, drink in my kingdom, sit on the thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, these are the 12 original apostles. They are apostles to the Lamb. If I am an apostle at all, I am apostle to the church, not to the Lamb. Paul was an apostle to the church. Barnabas was an apostle to the church. And we that are in the land today, those that have attained to the to that lofty calling, and I don't know who all they are, and you know, but they are apostles to the church. When the Lord ascended up on high, he gave them back to the church. But the first ones were given to the Lamb. But he was only a Lamb until he gets to Calvary. On the other side of Calvary behind us, he was a Lamb. And these are they that followed him in his temptations. They followed the Lamb. The Lamb is going to the slaughter. Like a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Hallelujah. And they have the distinct position of ruling over the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, the apostles to the church will rule with him, but not over the 12 tribes of Israel. This is a distinct calling, distinct gift, a distinct reward that he's given to those that followed him in his Lamb ministry. See, those that are apostles today and those that became apostles after Pentecost have followed the resurrected Christ. The Lamb came to Calvary. Christ rose on the other side. The Lamb died. Christ arose. Hallelujah. Oh, said the Apostle Paul, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, being made conformable unto his death, that I by some means might attain unto the resurrection that will lift me out from among the dead while yet alive. Hallelujah. That's life. Praise the Lord. All right. The apostles to the Lamb are separate. But notice here, I want to pick up a principle here. That you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, he could have said, I show you a principle here, that when he makes a statement concerning the blessings of his kingdom, he makes them to whoever, to those successors. Now, the way I know that is that Judas was present here. When he promises the 12, they're going to be over the 12 tribes of Israel. Each one of them will have a separate throne to judge from. Judas is with them, and we know that Judas is not going to judge, sit on a throne, and judge over Israel. So he could have said, are your successors that brought in Matthias. And Matthias has taken his place on the... he will take his place here. Now, while we will judge over Israel, the apostolic company of this age, but it's spiritual Israel. I might suggest to you that I don't think that God cares about running genealogy and getting all the tribes together and seeing, naturally. But I think that he is very interested in Israel, but it is spiritual Israel. Hallelujah. It is us. Hallelujah. The spiritual Israel of God. And we rule over that. But again, these apostles have that distinct promise and that distinct office, and God won't go back on his word. He'll do it. And they will rule over those natural tribes. Hallelujah. But we'll be ruling over the spiritual tribes. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, Jesus will rule and we'll rule with him. One time the Apostle Paul walked in his office and pulled out a ledger and shipwrecked twice, floated on a board 3 weeks, had to fight in the had to fight the beast in Ephesus, stoned and left for dead, beaten 5 times with 40 stripes less one. Then he reached over and pulled out another ledger. While he's still holding this one, he pulls out another one. He says, "Oh, well, I reckon the sufferings of this present time's not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us."
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. If we suffer with him, we shall also be glorified together. I don't know who's going to back up here. Praise the Lord. Yes. Hallelujah. All right. All right. Now let's turn back over here to Mark, where we started in St. Mark chapter 3. And we'll read these names of these apostles here. Praise the Lord. If you think, in reading different writers on these, naming these apostles, sometimes the names vary. Because, for example, Bartholomew and Nathaniel is the same man. And in some of them, there's two Judases. And then some of them don't name but the one Judas Iscariot. There's no confusion there. A lot of times they had two names. You know, we do that some. Somebody will give you a nickname. Usually happens in school, maybe. Somebody will, something you did or some peculiar way you look. Somebody will tag you with a nickname and it'll follow you all your life. Hallelujah. So that would settle any confusion that there might be. All right, here they are. Let's look at them in the 16th verse, third chapter of St. Mark. First Peter, Simon Peter, then James, and son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, and he surnamed them Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder, and Andrew and Philip, Bartholomew and Matthew, Thomas and James, the son of Alphaeus and Theudas, and Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, which this is one that was also going to betray him, and when he has named them here. All right. Now, as I look through here and read those names, you know, it's not like getting a list of who's who here. And as I read this name, I couldn't help but have my attention drawn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26. And if you'd like to turn over there, well, we will just do that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.